Lord, we're always before you. We're always praying. Our hearts, your spirit within us, always crying out, Abba, Father, and just kind of declaring how much we need you continually. So, Lord, I just say that out loud now. I need you continually. And I ask that even now as we move into this time of being together where we get to open your word that you have given to us in a day and age when you've allowed us, Lord, to see and understand. You've given us eyes to see. You, Holy Spirit, have made these words come alive, things that are foolishness to the world, but to us they are life and salvation. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for them. Be glorified, and Holy Spirit, do what you do as you move on us to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, has anybody seen or ever watched that show, Who Do You Think You Are? Might be on TLC, one of those channels, right? And what they're doing is, it's usually somebody famous or semi-famous who is studying their lineage, and they're finding up their family tree. They find interesting things up their family tree, and you know, usually it's exciting when they find out something that was like, oh, really cool. Like, I remember this one particular guy found out that his, one of his great-great-grandfathers was literally like the head right-arm guard for George Washington. You know, so he was all proud of that and excited, thinking like, wow, you know, my great-great-great-grandfather, whatever it was, you know, stood there, was George Washington, delivered these great, you know, addresses and all these things, and he was excited about it. And the same guy, a few more generations back, found out that it was his, furthermore, a few more greats, grandmother was one of the, and I think it was 16 or 12, I'm not sure the exact number, of folks who were killed in the Salem witch trials as a witch. You know, so he's like, you know, in the same lineage, he's like, this is what I got going on. And we all, to one degree or another, get some level of interest in, hey, who we are. What's making us up? Where do I come from? And the whole move with ancestry and the records and where everybody's spitting into tubes and mailing them to places. And, you know, in some ways I'm thinking, if Big Brother didn't know you before, they know you now. Right? Between we're sending our DNA all over the place, we got facial, you know, we're all taking our new iPhones and like, here, study my face perfectly. That way the whole world can know exactly where I am at all times, you know. But we've got this thing that we want to, you know where we're connected. And what we're going to look at today is just a remarkable account of what God has done and how he takes us where we are and puts us exactly where he wants us to be. And we have choices to make in this. We have choices to respond to the Lord or not. And we're going to see a beautiful response here. And if you weren't with us last week, we've moved our way into the book of Joshua. And it's a great, great book and a beautiful account of God's moving on behalf of his people. And Joshua was Moses' successor, and he's the one who's actually going to lead the people into the promised land. And even I love the song we sang today, like, you know what, Lord, you're my promised land. You know, there may be some great victories here, there may be some times I get to touch and taste you, but they, according to the scriptures, are like trying to figure this out through a blurry glass and think, We're barely scratching the edge of what God has for us. And the Lord is leading the people into this land, and he's told them it's lush. It's plenteous. I looked up the word to get it right this week. The word is plenteous. It means abounding. It's plentiful. And this land is that. And what God has for us in our lives, we know it's all that we need. It's all that we need. And the beauty is, we saw last week, God's giving it. He's like, this is the fulfillment of my promises to you, and I'm going to give it to you. And he's fulfilling his promises. And in that, he told Joshua, I'm only giving you this, I guarantee. You have a guarantee. And I'm going to be with you. Right? And the people wanted to know, hey, you know what? As long as the God that was with Moses is with you, Joshua, we're good. And that's true for all of us, right? We saw that. If God's with us, we're okay. And they got to see for 40 years, right, the physical presence, the manifestation of God, you know, with them, you know, the pillar and the fire. So the Lord, as he's establishing Joshua as Israel's next leader, actually is exhorting him, right? Be bold and courageous. There's going to be times you're going to need courage. I'm giving you this. It's the fulfillment of my promise, but there's still times that you're going to need courage. And that tells me that there's something, there's going to be a reason why I need courage. But the Lord's saying, you stick to my ways, I am guaranteeing you prosperity and success. It's a guarantee, right? It's a guarantee. So Joshua can move forward, you know, in faith. But the big but here, so to speak, is that this land is still occupied, right? This land that they're moving into is occupied, and that doesn't negate or doesn't impede anything that God said. It's just that in reality, sometimes the promises and receiving what God's given for us doesn't always come the way we think it's going to come, or the timing that we think it's going to come, or the means by which it comes, whether it be a person or whether it be a trial. You know, and we sang of God's abundant grace being this ocean that we drown in, because it is. You know, his grace is sustaining us through all these things. But the foregone conclusion is that the battle's won. We know the outcome of this. So though 2019, we said, was a year that had some battles in it, and 2020, we're seeing as this year that things are going to be plenteous, and there's going to be lots of breakthroughs. But unless God calls you home this year, you're probably also going to have a few things to walk through, right? There's the next thing, and none of them come our way outside of God's sovereign love, because that's what it is. It's love that allows him to move and shape what's going on in your life to give you everything you need, to give you the success that he desires and promises. And to know that he said, I will never leave or forsake you in this, becomes our courage. So if you don't have your Bibles open yet, you can open them or click them on or swipe or do whatever you need to do to get over to Joshua 2. And I want to read the whole chapter straight through. I'm going to read Joshua 2. It'll be familiar territory for many of you, and I want to highlight a few things, and especially you're going to see the beauty of God's grace here. So in Joshua 2, we read, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim to Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into a house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came up out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, When we come into the land, you shall tie the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hill and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. This is the Lord's word. So, Joshua sends two spies, not 12 this time, right? Moses had 12. He sends two, and he wants to get an idea of what to expect over there in Jericho. And the first thing that we're going to see here is Joshua is using, right, the gifts that God's given him. He's put him in charge. And God's told him, you're going to have this land. And, you know, one question might be, well, is he lacking faith by doing diligence here? Right? Should he just walk in there? Right? But I hear many people say, you know, there's this fine line between faith and common sense. And God's given you both. Right? And he also knows how you're wired. So don't be afraid to say, Lord, this is what I'm thinking here. You know, as opposed to saying, okay, you know what? Pure faith just means I'm going to charge in there. Right? If the Lord's putting in your heart, you know what? Check it out. Come up with a plan. It's okay. It's okay. So Joshua sends in these two men, and he wants them to go see. And it's interesting because Joshua was told by the Lord, no man shall be able to stand before you. Right? So he's got the Lord's word. You know, he's saying, I'm not going to leave or forsake you. You're going to have this. And at the same time, he's like, I'm still going to send two guys out there. I want to know exactly what we're walking into. How can I best lead the people that God's put in my charge, knowing that there's going to be opposition, right? There's something going on there. And for one, God's saying, I'm giving you this land, right? It's your inheritance. And so I found myself thinking about the word inheritance and how an inheritance is something that's received once the previous owner has passed on. And yet here, the Israelites are preparing to move into a land, and as of right now, the current owners have not exactly passed on. Right? But the Lord's saying, I'm giving it to you. Right? So the Lord's got a plan here. And we'll talk further later on when we get into some of the other battles about, you know, the fact that the Lord has chosen Israel to be his instrument here. But often in our own lives, for us to inherit something, right, the owner has to die. And what a beautiful picture that we have here is that, you know, Jesus, right, he said in Revelation that we don't have to fear because he's now the living one. He died, lives forevermore, and he has the keys of death and Hades, right? Because he, in defeating Satan, took them from him, right? So that the one who actually thinks he has some power, some control, some influence in your life has none. He has none, okay? And that's why Jesus, in overcoming death, can now be our propitiation. He can be our substitute in that, and we can now inherit something, though we didn't die the way we were supposed to. He died on our behalf to gain us this inheritance. And there's no doubt that we all, I'm going to say, want an easy life. You know, I don't think any of us wake up and say, you know what, I can't wait to see how difficult today can be, because there's nothing I enjoy more than a hard day. Right? We're just not wired that way. We are wired, and we're designed, okay, to seek some degree of pleasure. Right? And the Lord, right, he's given us these wonderful things that we get to enjoy in this life. enjoying him and enjoying each other. But he's also ordained the means. And I have this picture of childbirth, right? This beautiful thing that God has built. He's designed, he has knit it in a woman. Yet there is going to be a labor before that birth happens. And during that labor, Raina, plug your ears. No. He has made, right? He has ordained what happens in that process. I mean, that baby was breathing water, right? Water, embryonic fluid, amniotic fluid in its lungs. One moment, and as it goes through the birth canal and that gets squeezed out through that process, out the other side can now take oxygen into its lungs, instantly having that oxygen oxygenate his bloodstream and bring life into him. Okay? Ordained of God. So here the Israelites, here we move through these times that, okay, I am in the birth canal and something's being squeezed out of me. Okay? It's this stuff that's just got to get out. Because if I'm going to breathe what God has for me on the other side, I've got to go through this process. Okay? But he's guaranteed. He's guaranteed how it's going to turn out. He's guaranteed. I'm going to read you these verses in 1 Peter. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." That's where our inheritance, in heaven for you. "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be proved and found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God so treasures the fact that you have put your faith in him, he's going to continue to refine that faith and make it strong. And there's times that it comes through a trial. So as much as we, like I said, desire things to be easy, the Lord has made great promises to us. And here we've just read in this portion how Rahab had actually said, you know, "We're fearful. Our hearts are melting. We are discouraged," right? We heard on Wednesday. Courage has been taken out of our hearts as we've heard this. And it's just like the Lord said, right? In Exodus, said to Moses, "The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now the chiefs of Edom are dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab." He's naming all these different entities in the land there. "All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm." Even in Deuteronomy, "This day," right, the Lord is saying, "this day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you. They shall tremble and be in anguish because of you." So Rahab has heard, right? And it was 40 years ago, right? So who knows how old she was, how young she was at the time, but she heard. She heard what happened at the water, okay? And she refers to the Lord as Jehovah, right, by name. She's saying, "The Lord, you know, he dried up the land," right? This is the story that she, and this is a first generation virtual eyewitness, right, because they heard testimony. It's not, "I heard you move through the muddy water. I heard that your people," you know, all these different explanations that people try to give for what happened at the Red Sea. She's like, "I heard you move through on dry land," because they did. Right? And she heard of what happened in following. So Joshua sends these spies. And where do they go? To a prostitute's house. Right? I don't know about you, but when you read that stuff in the Bible, you're like, what's up here? You know? Like when Judah, okay, was with Tamar. And he's like, "Oh, I thought I was with a temple prostitute." Like, that made it okay. So Joshua sends these guys, they go to a prostitute's house. Now, there's some belief in here, too, that it may have been an inn that was open to the public. She may have been the innkeeper. But every time the scriptures mention Rahab, they call her a prostitute. This is who she was. This is a part of how she took care of herself, made a living. Okay, it's a picture that, you know, as we kind of embrace it, you're like, okay. And this to me is one of the things that just makes scripture all the more true. Because if somebody was making this stuff up, you don't put this in the book. Right? You kind of clean it up a little bit. You know, you just keep calling her an innkeeper or something. You know, winky winky, you know, or something. But there's belief that this may have been a place that a lot of people, as they came and went in and out of Jericho, may have stopped first, or if they didn't have a place to go, they may have stopped here. And often it may have been for the services that were given there. And that was, I guess, a part of what's going on at that time. Okay. Though they went in there trying to be inconspicuous, it obviously didn't take long before it was known who they were. And I never really thought about this, but as I was studying, Jericho is not a huge place. Okay? It's a walled city, but its estimates, maybe it's 10 acres. Okay, think about it, right? We know that the Israelites are going to march around it coming in a few chapters. Okay? So it's not gigantic, okay? But there's a way in, there's a way out, and the people there are protected, and they have their leader. He's referred to as a king here, but you might go and call him the mayor or the leader of the area. Okay? So it wouldn't be uncommon that as people come and go from the one gate, that they may stop here. And in this case, they knew, and the king of Jericho knew that there was somebody had come. And Rahab knew who these men were, despite what she tells the king when she's questioned. And part of what we see here is she goes ahead and she starts to act on what she's heard. Right? She's acting on what she heard. We all have to make choices on how we're going to act based on what we've heard. What we've heard God say. What we've heard him reveal. And how we act shows, did we receive that? Did we hear it as being from God? Because if we did, it's going to make us behave different. It has to. Okay? Because that word, as we receive it, it does become transformational. It does become life to us. And here Rahab goes ahead and she puts herself and her family at risk by lying to the king. She's lying. Right? I mean, maybe she didn't know where they were from at first, but she knew. And she said, I've heard about your God. And she puts her family at risk knowing that if the king finds out that she lied, they're all going to get killed. But she's taking action, and she's putting her faith out there. And she has made a choice of where to put her faith, and it's evident in her actions. And we see in the scripture this inseparableness of our faith and our actions. You know, so that James is like saying, you know what, if you tell me you got faith and I can't see it, I don't know about that. I don't know how real your faith is. And yet on the other hand, some folks are saying, well, I'll keep doing, and somewhere in their heart, that's where their trust is. Their faith actually isn't in the Lord. So we're often trying to work this out. Like, how do I let love be moving me that's why I do things? It's a response. I can't not. Because I've heard and I've seen and I'm tasting that he's good. Because she made this beautiful declaration in verse 11, right? The Lord, your God, he is God in the heavens and on the earth beneath. Right? And she knows what's going to happen. She believes, right? We heard about the kings. You know, what happened to them? They were utterly destroyed. Right? Because your God, he's the God. He is the God. He is Jehovah God. But I want us to focus a little bit on who she is, because God not only accepted this woman, he used her. Okay? From where she was at and the situation that she's in, she's held up in Hebrews as one in the hall of faith. Right? If you can, jump over to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. And I'm not going to read it all. Definitely not going to read it all. But I'm just going to read the names here as I skip my way through. In verse 4, by faith, Abel, right, offered to God. Verse 5, By faith, Enoch was taken up. Verse 7, by faith, Noah warned this righteous man. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, the father of Israel, obeyed when he was called out. His wife in verse 11, by faith, Sarah. Moving down even to verse 17 again, Abraham's mentioned that he, by faith, was tested. And that following that, in verse 20, by faith, Isaac. He brought future blessing. Followed by faith, Jacob, in verse 21. In verse 22, by faith, Moses. I'm sorry, by faith, Joseph. And then down to verse 23 and 24. By faith, Moses. I mean, these are people, men, women, who've done incredible things. And we get to verse 31. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. That list before her is pretty amazing. And the author of Hebrews goes on to say, oh, and I didn't even get to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. Like, David just gets a throw in there. Oh, yeah, David, he was a man of faith. But Rahab gets called out here. This is God. This is God. I mean, James references her, right? He gives her commendation because she took action on what she had heard. It became faith in her heart. Right? He commends her. James 2:25 says, and in the same way was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. She acted on what she'd heard in such faith that she's honored like this. She's referenced in the New Testament. And can there be any greater way to be honored than to actually find that you are in the lineage of the Messiah? Do you know who Rahab's son was? Boaz. Okay? Rahab, and we'll see, Rahab not only was saved, right? The walls fell, but guess whose room was okay? Guess who was delivered? Rahab and her family. And we'll read, she then assimilated into Israel. She married a man named Salmon and had Boaz, the kinsman redeemer of Ruth. Okay? Great-great-grandmother to King David, right? So if King David is on that show on TLC, right, and he's all excited about his lineage, he's like, oh, my great-great-grandmother was a prostitute. And God said, I remember her deeds no more, right? As far as the east is from the west, that's where that stuff is, okay? This is the grace of God, okay? The grace of God, because obviously several generations after David, Jesus is in that same line, right? I'm sitting here going, if Jesus was ever on, who do you think you are? Right? But His lineage is glorious because God has ordained it that way. Right? And what we really are seeing here is the same thing that Peter saw. Right? When Peter has this vision and he's told and he sees the animals coming down and he's being told to eat them, he's like, but they're not clean. And at the same time, a vision is given to a centurion named Cornelius. And Peter realizes, you know, what God is up to. And he says these glorious words, and they're captured in Acts. They're in Acts 10. Peter opens his mouth and says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, right? No favor. Some of the other translations, he's not a God that shows favor one to another. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Okay? So here Rahab, in all that her life has been up to this point, hears of Jehovah God and what he's doing in these people, right? And she's in it, and like how many people, you know, may first come to the Lord as a little bit of fire insurance. You hear what happens if you don't accept Jesus, right? You're going to burn in hell. Okay? Or you start, and I don't mean to make light of that, but you start to realize, wait, there is nothing worse than separation from God. There's nothing worse than darkness. Right? I was just reading, you know, when darkness overcame during one of the plagues, the Lord said, so that they feel it. Have you ever felt darkness? Right? So here, you know, Rahab has a degree of fear of what might happen to her, but she's got a choice to make. I'm either going to die at the hands of Jehovah God as he moves in and gives people the land, or I'm going to die if the king finds out I betrayed my people. Okay? But God uses this whole scenario, okay, to go ahead and use this woman, not showing any partiality. So I want you to be encouraged in that this morning. Okay? That God took this woman, allowed this woman to hear about him. Right? We all have some degree that we've heard about the Lord. We now have to decide how we're going to act, what we're going to do or not do. And I pray that you will act in a way of faith, right? So that you too could be listed here. Right? Who knows? Right? In many ways, as we see what God's going to do in the future. But as she acted on that faith, she does. And we'll read about how she saves her whole household. Anyone can respond in faith to God's revelation to whatever degree it's been revealed. Right? To whatever degree it's been revealed, God is showing himself. We know the heavens are declaring his glory. The earth declares his glory. Man is without excuse, Paul tells us. No excuses. Okay? Because there's something inside of all of us. And yet, for those of us who've been here, been in church, been alive in the 21st century, in Western world, you've got the ability to read and write. You've got a revelation all the more of what God's done. Yet he's not a respecter of persons. And if your faith is in him, he saves. He saves. And when you let that grip your heart like it was gripping Rahab, you can't help but do something about it. And in her case, she said, you know what? I'm going to put these guys up there. I'm going to do what they tell. I'm going to hang the cord. Okay? If she was drying out flax, she probably used that to make different things. She may have made that cord herself. She was a woman, obviously, of a lot of options and did things that she needed to provide. And not all of them would be things that we would say, oh, that's honorable. Okay? Yet God loves her and loves you. Amen? This is God's word to you this morning. If you'll stand, I want to pray a blessing over you. I want to encourage you. For one, it does not matter what your past has. It does not matter what your past has. There are other things that could have been in Rahab's past that we don't know about. There are things that are in your past that I don't know about, that other people close to you don't know about. And you know what? They don't have to. Because the Lord is still saying, if you'll respond in faith to my word, you're my child. To all who would receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. So as we close this morning, if you want prayer, if you need prayer for something, please come forward. Allow one of us to pray for you. If you've never invited the Lord into your heart and surrendered to his lordship, hey, that's where it starts. So Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for each person here, but I thank you for your grace that sustains us. Lord, that your grace is so awesome, that you are willing that none should perish, that none, Lord, leave this life without you, and you're patiently waiting for us to turn to you. So, Lord, even as your children, we turn afresh to you. We align ourselves as best as possible with all that your Spirit has for us to be and do. And God, we thank you that you are so great. You're awesome. Lord, we sang today how much you love us, how much we love you. God, because what else can we do but lay our lives down, give our lives back to you, and allow you to use us, Lord, through this short life that we have, God, that you would be greatly honored. So, Lord, I do ask and pray a blessing over each person and their family, Lord, as they depart from this place with the words that you gave Moses. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're blessed and dismissed. Go with the Lord, and please come forward if you need prayer.